Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Nazir Samech Dalet. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf as well as Zech and Nishmas Libik Gabriela Bashmuel. We're on Samech Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting today Tana Rabbanan, about a third of the way down on the Amud. Yesterday we were introduced to a halacha, which we saw back in Pesachim, and we get to repeat here in Masechta Nazir because the two places this special halacha applies is by Nazir and by Pesachim, and that's what's called Tumasa Tahum. The idea behind Tumas Tahom is that if there's a Tumah that a person was exposed to, Tumas Mace, that a person was exposed to, so under certain circumstances, that Tumah can be ignored. And the fact is that the person is in fact Tameh, but nevertheless, so it won't, historically, it won't affect him in terms of both Nazirus and in terms of Karban Pesach. So we're learning Masechta Nazir. We're in the ninth parak. We're finishing up the Masechta. So in Daf Samech Gimel, the Mishnah introduces us to this idea, and the Mishnah gave a number of qualifications. The Mishnah pointed out yesterday on Samech Gimel Amud Aleph that if a Nazir is Megaleach, so already now counted the days, brought the Karbanos, shaved his head, so went through all procedure, and then afterwards discovers the Tumata that he was exposed historically to Tumas Hameis, at one point during his Nazirus. So the Mishnah says, as long as it was Tumas Tahom, so it's not going to affect his Nazirus. It does not, discount the days that he counted up until this point in time. Why should that be? So the answer to that question is very simple, because it is. Meaning the Gemara said yesterday, although the Gemara thought it to be based on a drasha, the Gemara concluded yesterday that's halach l'moshe m'Sinai. A couple points that we learned yesterday. Number one, Tumas Atom, what's the definition? Definition Tumas Atom is that you didn't know about it, nobody knew about it. Meaning it's the kind of Tumah where it ended up, the Tumas Hameis, the corpse ended up in a place where it was totally unexpected. And nobody buried the mace over there. It was just simply discovered in a way where nobody could have known that it was there. So, for example, the Mishnah said yesterday, if the corpse is floating in the mikvah, so that's not Tumas Tahom. Somebody must have knew about it. But the Mishnah says, for example, if let's say you go into a cave and there was a mace under the body of the cave and under the rocks of the cave, so that's something where no one really should have known about it, and so that qualifies as Tumas Tahom. So that's number one. Number two, as we learned yesterday, this halacha only works if you discover it after Giluach. If you discover it before Giluach, so then it doesn't work. We concluded yesterday's Gemara that if you learn about it before Giluach, so you are a soser. It takes away all the days, and you have to start all over again. Another halacha that we learned yesterday regarding Tumas Tahom is that you have to be in a cheskas tahara. You have to be in a presumption of tahara. If you're a cheskas tumah, if you're in a presumption of tumah, so then this halacha of Tumas Tahom does not work. Okay, so those are a number of halachas that we learned yesterday regarding this special halacha of Tumas Tahom. It works for Nazir, it works for Karban Pesach. We're going to start now today with a Braisa, which is basically going to go over this information for us, and that really ends yesterday's daf. So, Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes over here, Braisa, it's lengthy. It takes us really almost to the bottom of the Amud. Hamotzi meis mutar l'rechva shel derech. A person discovers a dead body, and it was lying down crosswise against the road, perpendicular to the road. So there's no way that you went over the road and you didn't go over the mace. You did, in other words, double negative. It means you went over the mace. So for example, hamotzi mace mutal arachva shoderech l'truma tameh. So as it relates to the halachas of eating truma, meaning if you're a kohen, you can't eat truma because you're tameh. You are ma'ahil, you went over the mace, and therefore you're in a state of tuma. However, when it comes to either the halachas of nazir, as we learned in the Mishnah, and the Bryce is going to tell us as well, and as it relates to Karban Pesach, you are tahor. Now, when is it that for sure you went over the tumah? That's only if the mace was situated in such a way that it covered the entire pathway. However, if there was a way that you could have gone over the road and not get over the mace, so you don't know, meaning it's not clear whether you did or you didn't. So now we're talking about a suffix. We're talking about a road. So it's a suffix toma berushas harabim. So the brisa says aval yesh l'makom la'avor af l'truma tahor. So the halach is that you're going to be tahor because this is a classic example of suffix toma berushas harabim. Ba'med dvar mamor m'shamasu shalem. And this is only if the body was found intact. Aval mishubar meforak. However, if the body was discovered and in segments, so once again there is a chance, there's an opportunity to walk through the mace, so to say, through the pieces of the mace. So I feel like Malcolm Lavor, Chayshin and Shema, excuse me, Ben Aprakim Avar, So the word chayshinan over here, literally chayshinan means we suspect, but chayshinan in this context means there's cause enough to assume that you went through bein haprakim, you went through between the segments of the mace, and once again now it turns into a suffix, and this is a suffix brishus arabim, and therefore you're going to be tahor. Uve kever, however, if the body was buried in a kever, which by the way unusual, and I say unusual because we're talking about tumasat tahom, so we're talking about tumasat tahom, so that means that ostensibly somebody buried it over there, meaning right, it's a little strange to argue that the body was found in a casket, in a coffin, buried crosswise, and we're going to say that that's tumasat tahom where nobody knew about it. Okay.
Last generation, two generations, three generations.
Yes, understood. Correct, meaning we could get to a case like this, and I'm just making sure that we understand the context of what's going on. So uve kever, afilu mishubar mefurak, tamei memeshe kever metzarfo. An idea that we saw earlier in the Masechta, and that is that the casket takes all the body parts and unifies all the body parts. Where now it's not just the meitzas tamei, but it's really the kever. The kever itself is now a tumas mace, and so therefore, really the entire kever rises up. And so once again, if the kever is situated in a way where it covers the entire road, so then you're going to be tamei when you walk over the road. Ba'med v'amamorim be'mahalach b'raglav. The Gemara says that this is only true when you walk with your feet. If you're carrying something or you're riding, so tame. If you're walking with your feet, so you're nimble. Okay, you could tiptoe, you can ride, you can right. In other words, you can manipulate your body in a way where it's possible that you're going to be missing body parts. However, if you are carrying something or if you're riding on something, where there you really don't have control over your walk, so then it's no longer a suffix, and therefore your tummy. Okay, and that's exactly what the Brisa says. You're carrying something or you are riding on something, so at that point in time, it's no longer a suffix, and most probably you are tummy. And then the Brisa points out that this only works because we're discussing tumas atahom. Aval tumah yedua. However, if it's tumah yedua, so shloshim tameim. So then all three of them are going to be tumah, meaning all three scenarios that we just described. Ve'ezu tumas atahom, and then the Brisa goes on to describe, and what is tumas atahom? Kol she'im akirecha b'sof ha'olam. So nobody in the world knows about it. In other words, somehow the corpse got here, and it's inexplicable, and although it could be that somebody knew about it, but ostensibly, most probably, nobody knew about it, and therefore falls into the category of tumas atahom. However, however, if somebody buried the body, and it's clear that somebody buried the body, so then bury the body or dispose of the body, however you want to say it. But if that's what happened, ain't it tumas atahom? So that is not a category that doesn't fall under the category of tumas atahom, and doesn't enjoy might not be the right word, but doesn't enjoy the halachas that we just learned in this brisa. Hayat taman b'tevna b'tzoros or is the tumas atahom? Let's say the body was buried in rock or in straw or in rubble. So that's an example of tumas atahom, meaning it just somehow the person died and just ended up in a place where nobody knew about it. So bayamim va. In an ocean, in a dark place, in crevices in the rock, so that doesn't qualify as tumas atahom. Again, the chances are is that somebody either buried him there or disposed of him there, one or the other, but in other words, somebody knew about it. And this halach of tumas atahom only applies to tumas meis. It doesn't apply to any other tumah. This is only specific to tumas meis. Okay, ad kan, that's the brisa. Really a nice recap of what we learned yesterday in terms of the halachas of tumas atahom. Okay. Safa Ketzad Yared. We're quoting from the Mishnah, and now we're going to be introduced today to another new halacha. New halacha to us in the Daf Yomi. We don't learn Mishnayos. If we learn Mishnayos in Taharos and Seder Taharos, so this next halacha that we're about to learn today is not going to seem that strange and unusual. However, the Daf Yomi only allows us to go through Gemara and doesn't allow us to see the Mishnayos, and so this is going to be for us a new halacha. This new halacha that we're about to learn together is this. Follows. We are now leaving the world of Tumas Meis, and now we're entering into the world of Tumas Sheretz. In the world of Tumas Sheretz, so we have a special leniency. You touch Sheretz. Sheretz is the remains of any of the eight bugs that are described in Parshas Shmini. So the if you come into contact with it and just negiya, in other words, the only way of communication of tumah and by the shemana shvatzim is only through maga, only through negiya, only through physical contact. So if you touch it, you are going to be tummy. What if you're unsure about whether you touch it or not? Safek. So there we have the basic rules of safek tummy brishut harabim is tahor, safek tummy brishut yachid is tummy. Okay, adkan. That's ABCs. Then, beyond the ABCs, there's now a halacha that is described in the Mishnayos and Taharos. It's in the fourth parak. I know that because the Rush told me that, not because I have Bikius. So it's also on the side of the Gemara as well. So the halacha is that if the sheretz is floating on water and you're not sure if you touched it, and even if it's in a Rishos HaYachid, so the halacha is that you are Tahor. Okay, so this is a special halacha, specific to Shratzim, that if it's floating in water, and maybe you touched it, maybe you didn't, so the halacha is going to be that you are Tahar. How does this halacha work? Well, the Gemara in just a moment is going to quote Psukim. So the Psukim, the given indication that this is a Din D'Oraisa. Although, as the Rush points out over here, and again, all you need to do is really know your Mishnayos, which admittedly I don't, but you know your Mishnayos, and the Mishnah in Taharos says, the Rush quotes the language of the Mishnah in Taharos, it's a fourth parak, so Elu Sfeikus, I'm reading from the Rush, it's on the top of Samach Dal Madalf and Maya Gemara. So Elu Sfeikus Shetiharu Chachamim. So the language of the Mishnah in Taharos is that these are things that the Chachamim were Mitahir. So it sounds like it's a din derabanan, although that also requires explanation. Meaning, if you're tummy min haTorah, how can the chachamim be mitar you? And yes, it's a suffix, but generally speaking, the rules are suffix tumah brishut yachid is tameh. So the language of the Mishnah Taharus is very difficult to understand, but it's a Mishnah, so you have to contend with the Mishnah. In the meantime, however, whether it operates on a Torah level, whether it operates on a derabanan level, All we need to know is that it operates. That if you touch a sheretz while floating on a body of water, so you are, again, if you touch it, you're tummy. If maybe you touch it while floating on a body of water, even if it's a rishus hayachid, so you're tahor. That's the halacha. Why is it coming up right now? I'm not sure. I mean, that's not perfectly true. The Mishnah does describe a scenario where the mace is saf al gabe amayim, where the remains of the human body is floating on the water. It's a loose connection because this halacha is specific to shratzim; it doesn't apply to mace. So, okay. A loose connection. Anyway, it gives the Gemara an opportunity. I firmly believe that when the Gemara has a chance to discuss Mishnayos and Taharos, the Gemara is going to do so. There is no Gemara written on the Mishnayos and Taharos, so this is going to be our opportunities for learning a little bit of Seder Taharos, in this case, Masechta Taharos. Okay.
If the sheretz is in the mikveh is not usable,
like this? Mikveh is fine. So the classic example of tovel b'sheretz v'yado. That's the classic expression that's used throughout the Gemara. That means you tovel in the mikveh and you're holding the sheretz in your hand. That's the problem. It's not. When I say that's the problem, by the way, just to be clear, your tefillah is not good. But the sheretz is in the mikveh. That's fine.
But you don't touch it. It's okay.
It's fine. Yeah. It's not gonna affect the status of the mikveh. Mikveh is gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. It's only when it's biyado. It's when you're holding in your hand. That's gonna be the problem. Okay. So with that stated, so let's learn together. So tzafayin matame lein sheretz d'tanya. So if it's floating, it's not gonna be matame as it relates to shratzim. Okay. So the Gemara is just simply contrasting. We learned in Amish and Nazir where they have human remains floating in the mikveh. So the thought of it itself is obviously not pleasant, but here now we're just contrasting to shratzim.
The same, like if a body is in the mikveh and somebody goes into the mikveh,
again it'll be fine. Meaning the problem is that when it comes to the maze, so that the communication of tumah is not only through contact, it's through ohel. So remember now, it's going to go up and it's going to go down. So if you're next to it, so you're fine. But if you're going to be over it or under it, okay.
It's open mikveh, there's no...
Right, correct. So safek tumah safa bein bekelim bein bekarka tahora. So now the Gemara introduced it with the words detanya. It's the brisa. The Gemara right now is quoting a toseft and taharos, but it runs parallel to the Mishnayos and taharos in the fourth parak. Again, you can see on the side. I did not look up. Just candid over here. I didn't look up the Mishnah and taharos. I just look at the Gemara and the mafarshim here in the daf. Okay. Anyway. Enough. That's too candid. Okay, let's go. So, safek tumah safa bein bekelim bein bekarka tahora. So, the Tanakhama's opinion is that if the If it's suffik tuma, now remember, we're talking about shratzim right now. We've transitioned from mace to now we're just talking about shratzim. So if you possibly touch the sheretz, which is floating, so according to the Tanakama, ben bekelim ben bekarka, it doesn't matter if it's a body of water, it doesn't matter if it's a bathtub of water. Kli over here just simply means that the water is contained in a vessel. Okay, let's talk about a larger vessel. So we'll talk about a bathtub. So, bein bekelim, bein bekarka tahara. So, according to the Tanakama, as long as it's floating in a body of water and you possibly touch it, you're tahara. Rabbi Shimon Omer bekelim tamei bekarka tahara. And Rabbi Shimon says no. He disagrees. He says that this halacha is only specific to karka. It has to be a body of water in a natural existence. Right, a lake, a river, an ocean. But if it's water that's collected in a kli, and the sheretz is floating in that water, according to Rabbi Shimon, no, you're not going to be tar, but rather you're going to be tummy. Rabbi Shimon, so my time at the Tanakama, what's the reason for the Tanakama? So as I mentioned before, the Gemara now is going to quote Pesukim. The Mishnah and Tara says that the Chachamim were metahir. So okay, that's a obviously. That needs more elucidation. But anyway, in the top now of Samech Dalam and Aleph, so the Gemara goes on to explain, my time in Tanakama, what's the reason behind the Tanakama? I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Avidumi, Ksiv, Bechol HaSheretz, HaSheretz, Kol Malkum, Shehu Sharetz. So on one hand, the Torah describes when coming into contact with Tumas Sharetzim, it's crawling on the ground. Uksiv Allah Aretz. And then the Torah goes on to describe on the ground. Haketzad Vada Mago Tame. Suffik Mago Tower. If you definitely touch your tummy, if you possibly touch your tower. The Gemara over here didn't quote the pasuk in its entirety. Anyway. According to the Tanakama, if it's only on the ground, it's your tameh. But if it's floating in the water and you possibly touched it, you're tougher. Rabbi Shimon, my time, I'm Ula, Ksiv Achmayam, Ksiv Yitma. So, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? The Torah describes that you're in a Ma'ayan, a wellspring. And then it says, Yitma, Kitz, Tzafa, Bekilim, Tameh, Bekarka, Tahar. According to Rabbi Shimon, based on the way he understands the Pesukim, only if it's floating in the on water, which is on land, meaning what we would call a natural body of water, then and only then, Suffolk Nigia would be tahor. But if it's floating in a kli, in water in a kli, so then you're going to be... You're going to be tummy. Yeah, it is. But in other words, this is now a subsection halacha within Suffolk Tuma. Okay.
Kli is in the Rishus. Even if it's a Rishus of Ari, kli, or just in the Rishus of Yotzi?
No, in the Rishus of Ari... I assume so. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, and now that we brought up this Mishnah and Tosefta in Masechta Taharos, so now for the remainder of this Amud, from here until the bottom of the Amud, so we get to discuss now details regarding this particular halacha. Okay, so the Gemara again is going to now use this opportunity to really explore this particular halacha. New halacha that, you know, comes up one daf in Shas and a couple of Mishnayos and Taharos. And so we're being very specific right now in today's daf. Tanu Rabbanan kol ani talan v'hanigrarin sveikim tamei. Let's say the sheretz is either being... Now, the word we have in our Gemara is nital. The Gemara makes a number of corrections in today's Gemara. Corrections, emendations, however you want to say it. But he has over here the girsa being nitalim with a tuf, not with a tes. And so... But here it seems to be the same basic idea. Just the Rambam has this girsa as well. If, let's say, somebody's in the water. So the sheretz is in the water, but it's being held by somebody. He's holding it, he's dragging it, and you touch the sheretz while it's being held by a person. So the person, so to say, grounds the sheretz. Okay, I know what I'm saying. I conceptually kind of get it. In other words, this halacha is only when the sheretz is kind of floating in. I was going to say floating in air. It's not floating in air. It's floating in a body of water. But once the sheretz is grounded, and there's a person actually holding it, and then some... Now, obviously, the person holding it is tummy. That's clear. We're talking about somebody coming over and possibly now coming into contact with it while the sheretz is being held by somebody else. Because the sheretz is being held by somebody else, so therefore it does not afford the special halacha of saf b'mayim, floating in water. So therefore, hanital mahanigrarin sveikin tameh mimishein kemunach. It's like they're placed. Now they have a makam, they're munach, they're grounded.
What difference does it make?
Again, we're working within a special halacha.
Is it still 2 months? Tell me.
No, but again, we're not talking about the person. I'm trying to be clear. We're not talking about the person who's actually touching it. He for sure is tummy. We're talking about the person who possibly touched it. And for the person who possibly touched it, so again, we have a special halacha that a sheretz floating in water is tahor.
But the sheretz, he can't just be touching it. He's got to be holding it on his hand.
No touching. All you need is contact.
If it's floating, after you touch something that's floating,
what do you mean? You put your finger, you touch it.
Touches you.
Okay. The sheretz on the ground that you possibly touch or didn't touch?
What's the difference between the two?
Okay, good. The question's excellent. I don't know. I just know that that's how the halacha operates.
It also works in
mattress. Yeah, I understand. I mean,
I understand.
Right, something to that extent. But this really is localized. This particular halacha is really localized to tuma, and not only tuma, but to masheretz and tuma sheretz, which is, it's a very localized halacha. I don't know how much further application there is. Hanizrakin sfek and tahor. But let's say you throw it, and then on the throw may or may not have glanced off of me. I don't know. And again, everyone's in a body of water in this whole context. So you're going to be tahor. Chutz min kezayis min hamez va'amal al pnei tumah v'chol davar shenit ma'malamal kalmata. And then the Brisa, the Tosefta, goes on to say, and obviously, not obviously. I'm saying all this is obvious. And then, without the word obviously, this is specific to shrapsim. This doesn't apply to kezayis min hameis. So if it's human remains, then you may or may not have come into contact with it, your tummy. Okay, it's a suffix tuma. And mahil apanei tuma, and you may have gone over tuma while in a body of water, it doesn't matter. Meaning we're now talking about mace, and by mace you don't have the special halacha. V'chol davashe mitame malamala kilamata, lasui zava, and also other forms of tuma. So for example, zav and zava. The way the Tosefta describes it is that which is tummy below is just like it's tummy above. Just as a brief explanation, what that means is that when you have a zava, and it's true by nida and yoledes as well, so when they sit down on something, the item they sit down on is tummy to the same degree of tuma as they are. Right? Special halacha, what's called tumas medrash. So that zava, nida yoledes, gives off tumas medrash. That's just simply how the Tosefta describes it. So if I may or may not have touched the zava, nida yoledes, while in a body of water. So again, it doesn't have this halacha of sfeiko tahor. The only time that we're going to have this halacha is only by sheretz. Good. By Rami Bar Chama and more to discuss on this halacha. Rami Bar Chama asks questions. Meis beklei v'kleips af al pnei hamayim. So, curiosity. Let's say the mace is in a kli, and the kli is floating in water. Okay, this question should strike familiar. I mean, I say should, as if you know. This takes us back to the beginning of Shabbos. In the beginning of Shabbos, we asked a similar question in terms of hanacha, right? By Shabbos, in order to violate the malacha chotzah, you need a kirin, you need a hanacha, and the Gemara here asks a very similar question by Hanacha. But anyway, let's keep it right now localized to our discussion of a sheretz. So again, the special halacha is that if the sheretz is floating in water and you possibly touch it, you're tahor. Here the sheretz is floating in a kli in water. So what do we look at? Do we look at the sheretz as it relates to the kli, or do we look at the sheretz as it relates to the water? Okay, so
good.
And it's a good question. And once again, it does say mace. You're correct. Once again, the Gaon makes another correction, and the Gaon says, take out the word mace and insert the word sheretz. Okay, no, because the Gaon obviously was bothered by that, by your very question. So another correction made by the Gaon.
If it was a mace, it would be no.
Right, because by mace, because this halacha is only specific to shrapsim. Okay.
If the other person is touching the sheretz, exempts it from tamei. So certainly by in a kli, it should also exempt it from
water. In other words, is this considered floating on water? Okay. In other words, relative to the kli, it's not floating on water. Relative to the water, it is. So it's a classic question, which again, this question has been asked in elsewhere.
The sheretz in a kli, the kli itself becomes a source of tumah to make it.
Not a source. A kli becomes a vlad.
So a person touching is not going to get
tumah. No.
Either in the water or outside of it.
Correct. So, but in other words, you're touching the sheretz, which now happens to be a kli, which is floating on water. So if the sheretz was in water, and again, possibly you touched it, you're good.
But you're talking about the sheretz in the kli, and you touched the sheretz?
Correct. Sheretz is in the kli, you touched the sheretz. Uh-huh. Again, and every time I say touch, I mean possibly touch. So sheretz b'kli, b'kli tzaf apanei amayim mahu, baser kli az linen, or baser, now the word that we have in the Gemara is misa, but again, the gon changed it, he amends it, to the word maya. So what do we follow? Do we follow the kli, or do we follow the water? Az linen. So imtim salamah, so the Gemara progresses, right? This is a classic progression Gemara, where the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions, and each question is going to be built on an assumption of, well, let's go this way. So even though the Gemara didn't resolve the previous question, but the Gemara just kind of assumes that this is a more natural way to turn, and then based on an assumption, the Gemara then goes and introduces a new question. So this is a classic style of Gemara. In Tim Salama, the Gemara says, okay, Basta Kli as Lina, so let's say we're going to follow the Kli. Which means then that really the Sheretz is not on floating on water, although it is, but it's really floating on the Kli. And therefore, it's grounded. It's got a makam. It's munach. And so therefore, your possible contact with the sheretz is going to make you tameh. So now, next, now again, another correction by the Gaon. A lot of corrections in today's Gemara. Mesa gabi sheretz. Let's say, now the Gaon changes the position. So now let's have the sheretz floating on top of a mace. Okay? So you have stacked on the water, on the top of sheretz, below that human remain. And then both of them are floating on water. Okay, again, not a pleasant visual, but we're clinical right now. We're just going to look at the halacha. And then what the Gemara wants to now know, look, the kli, I understand, being a foreign item, it's the sheretz is now going to be viewed as situated in the kli. Gemara says that's fine. But now the sheretz is on mace. It's almost like, I'm going to use terminology that the Gemara doesn't use over here, but hopefully in this context you'll understand. It's almost like min bimino. Okay, in other words, what is the sheretz? It's an avatuma. What's a mace? It's an avatuma. And I'm not being specific, because really a mace is an aviavosatuma, it's a higher level of tuma, but at least you understand the Gemara's conceptual question. Correct. Agreed. But I'm just presenting the question of the Gemara right now, in that the Gemara now thinks this is a better question because it's tuma on top of tuma. And so maybe the mace, which is now holding the sheretz, is not going to be the same as a kli. That's what the Gemara is thinking right now. So again, in our Gemara, it's mace agabi sheretz, according to the Gaon. Sheretz agabi mace, just switch it. Ma'u kevin dehai tumas erev v'hai tumas shiva. Keman demachta tuma b'kli damya. So basically now the Gemara is presenting both sides. On one hand, the mace is much more serious tuma, much more severe tuma. And so therefore, the mace, as it relates to the sheretz, is considered like a foreign item. It's a totally different entity. Even though it gives off tuma, but much more severe, 7-day tuma. Sheretz only gives it off for 1-day tuma. So therefore, the mace that's holding the sheretz right now is like a kli. Oh, dilma tuma smichtahi, or maybe no, maybe it's just all one blob. That's a very technical term, scientific term. It's all one blob of tuma, and so therefore we could view the sheretz, excuse me, as going on top of the water. So the Gemara says, okay, and once again, in a progression, let's just assume that the mace that's holding the sheretz is like a foreign item. And therefore, it's like the sheretz is in a kli, and therefore, somebody who possibly touches it, even though it's floating on water, but it's not. It's floating on mace, which is floating on water, so therefore the person who possibly touches it, a tummy. Now let's progress. B'kli damya, v'tame v'adai, sheretz agabe nevela. So now, in a progression, so let's ask the following question. Let's say the sheretz is floating now on top of nevela, animal carcass. Animal carcass gives off tuma as well. But here, the animal carcass is much more similar to the sheretz than that of the mace. Animal carcass, you touch animal carcass. When I say animal carcass, I just mean any animal that wasn't shechted. Okay? Shechita does two things, right? Everyone should know this. Shechita allows us to eat the animal, but shechita also prevents the animal from being a nevela. Okay, two things happen when you shecht an animal. We appreciate one because we don't worry much about tuma tahara these days, huh?
I'm a kosher animal, not a kosher animal. Shechita doesn't do anything.
I think you're right. I gotta remember my chulin days, but I think you're right. The carcasses of non kosher animals give off tuma. It's a basic question. I should know the answer. I'm unclear.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, sheretz al gabe nevela v'nevela tzaf amahu. So the Gemara says that the sheretz now is flowing on top of nevela, and nevela is flowing on water. So again, now it's the same question, but the progression over here is such that the nevela is much more similar to a sheretz. You touch a nevela, you're only tamei for one day. And by one day, we mean you tov on the mikvah, you wait till Erev Shemesh, and you're good. And the same thing is true with the sheretz. So, right, can't we now say it's a blob of tuma? So the Gemara asks, Kevin, Ravai, Tumas Erevinun, Tumas Mikvahi. So the Gemara is here, you know, kind of leans in this direction because it presents this side first. It's a blob of tuma. And so therefore, we could view the sheretz as floating on water. Oh, Dilma, Hai Kazayis, Vai Kadasha. The Gemara says, on the other hand, we know the shiurim are different. The sheer tuma for a sheretz is adasha, the size of one lentil. The sheer of tuma for nevela is a kazayis, an olive, the volume of an olive. Ah, so there are different shiurim. So maybe the Gemara says it's not one blob of tumah. We could differentiate the tumah based on the shiurim. So the Gemara says sheretz agabi sheretz mahu. Okay, let's now progress. What if it's one sheretz floating on top of another sheretz floating on water? Okay, so hani vade chad shiurinenu. So on one hand, the Gemara says that we could certainly view this as a blob of tumah because the sheretz and the sheretz are equivalent. There is no difference. On the other hand, on the other hand, they are two distinct shrotzim. And so maybe the sheretz that is on top is munach. It's considered that it's placed, even though it's placed on another sheretz, and even though it's min bimino. Okay, that's all true. But when all said and done, the top sheretz is munach, and maybe the criteria for this halacha is that it has to be floating directly on the water, and the top sheretz is not. Gemara says, "Intim salamer sheretz al gabi sheretz given them a paske mehadad to command the mancha bekli dami." So the Gemara says again, in a progression. So let's assume now that sheretz on top of sheretz, the top sheretz is munach. So the Gemara says, "Sheretz al gabi nevela shini mochu mahu." Okay, the Gemara just simply progressing with these questions. What if the sheretz is flowing on nevela, which I know we've already covered, but now in this progression, the nevela that's holding the sheretz is not as solid, but now it's more liquefied. It's thick, it's viscous, but it's not a solid. So maybe now we could say that nevela is more in touch with the water, so to say, and that the sheretz on top is really floating on the water. So kevan denimocha havile mashke. So maybe now that the nevela is more of a liquid than it is a solid, so we could view that as part and parcel of the water, and now we can argue that the sheretz is floating on the water. Odoma hay uchlahu. Or on the other hand, no, nevela is food. It's ochel, even though now it's in a more liquefied state, but it's ochel. So the Gemara says, intim salama de uchlahu. Gemara says, and if you're going to, now again, we're just going to keep moving in the progression. Let's assume now that the nevela nimoch is considered ochel, and therefore going to be considered a hanacha for the sheretz on top of it. Sheretz al gabe shechvat zera mahu. Finally, the Gemara concludes with a series of questions where the sheretz is now floating on top of shechvat zera. Okay. And the shechvat zera is in a liquid state. Always in a liquid state. So maybe the Sheikh Vazera can be viewed as part of the water, and because of that, so now we could say that the sheretz is floating in water. So agabe, I'm sorry, Sheikh Vazera ma'o, v'imtim salam mekevin dimit akra havale ki uchla. The Gemara says, yeah, but the Sheikh Vazera now is detached from the man, and so therefore it's ki uchla. Ki uchla over here just simply means it, right, as a status of uchla, meaning it can be viewed as uchla as it's no longer part and parcel of the man. And so therefore it's considered like a hanacha, sheretz agabe mechatas. Mechatas tafna agabe mayimahu. What if the sheretz is on top of mechatas? Mechatas is the mayim chayim together, mixed together with the yafar. So it is a liquid, but it has a little viscosity because it's basically ashes and water mixed together. So you could sprinkle it. In fact, you're supposed to when it comes to tamimeis. Everyone know that the... Mechatas is a source of tuma, right? And what, the oddity, the irony of the paraduma, right? Metami tahor and metahir tamei. Anyway, but the point being is that the mechatas is a liquid, and therefore it can be viewed as part and parcel of the water, and therefore when the sheretz is on top of the mechatzas, it's floating on water, or no? The mechatzas is considered its own entity, and the sheretz floating on top of the mechatzas is considered munach. So lo yadi'inan teku. So the Gemara makes like almost like a redundancy. Yeah. Gemara says, I don't know, and oh, by the way, teku.
The thing is, liquid within liquid just kind of gets dissolved instead. There's not an entity that you could recognize, you know, like...
Right, I agree. These last series of questions are difficult to understand in terms of why here should be considered hanacha. Agreed. With these progression gemaras, I mentioned this before. The Rambam generally takes the position on these progression gemaras that any assumption the Gemara made in terms of getting to the next question, the Rambam says that's the halacha. That's a general rule by the Rambam. In other words, what we just did in the Gemara is that we went through a whole series of questions.
Right.
But each question was built on an assumption that we made in the previous question. So the Rambam says when the Gemara does that, the Gemara is tipping its cap towards, you know, that it, even though the Gemara just laid it as an assumption, the Rambam says that's generally the halacha. As a general, I didn't look up the Rambam, to be fair and honest. Well, the only thing the Gemara left unresolved were the last series of questions, where it was basically the sheretz is floating on a liquid, but it's a thicker liquid, right? Shechvat zera, the mechatas. So in those questions, the Gemara ends off teku. But the previous questions, I don't know. Meaning, you could make a plausible argument that the teku was going back on everything the Gemara was dealing with, because it's really one long run-on sentence. I didn't look it up. All this would be towards the negative. Because once it's munach, once it's considered situated not in the water but on the kli in the water, so then sfeik goes tame. Then if you possibly touch it, you're tame. This halacha is only going to be in a scenario where the sheretz is floating directly on the water. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Oh, this formulation the Gemara just used. Yeah, admittedly, it's a strange language. I don't, off the top of my head, no, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means off the top of my head.
As long as there is an insulation between the sheretz and the water, there is no safek. When you touch,
correct. Correct. Or not only if you touch. No, if you touch the sheretz, again, go back to the beginning. If you touch the sheretz, you're done. If you know you touch the sheretz, you're done. This halacha is only when you possibly touch the sheretz. Right. Correct. Amar Rav Hamanuna. We're now on the very top of Samach Talmud Beis. We are concluding today's daf with just a little bit of Gemara, although admittedly this next piece of Gemara is going to be a little challenging, only because you need to know a lot of information. Amar Rav Hamanuna Nazir Vavos Pesach Sha'alcha Bekever Tahom B'Shvi Shalahem Taharim. So Rav Hamanuna states a halacha, which is that by a Nazir and by somebody who's going to bring Karban Pesach, and they go over Kever HaTahom, and it's the seventh day, meaning that both the Nazir and the Oseh Pesach, by the Nazir we're talking about a Nazir who's Tameh. And by Nazir who's Tameh, so what does he need to do? He needs to count 7 days. And when I say count 7 days, meaning go through the regular process of Tahara, Tahara Sameis, which is Hazah of the Mechatas on day 3 and day 7. On day 7, after the Hazah, you sprinkle. And then the next day you shave and you bring your karbanos. Okay, so when it comes to that's by the Nazir, by the Oseh Pesach, so there it's simpler. There, 7 days before Erev Pesach, so you expose yourself to Tumas Meis. So what you do is, you simply go through the process of Hazah B'Shlishu V'Shvi, and on day 7, Erev Pesach, you are toveling in the mikvah. You're not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach yourself because you have to wait till Erev Shemesh. You'll have somebody bring the Karban Pesach for you, and you'll eat it that night because that night you'll have experienced Erev Shemesh, and you'll be good. What the Rav Hamanuna is teaching us is that by the Nazir and by the Oseh Pesach, if you go over Kever at Tahom on Shvi'i, so you are going to be Tahor. My Taima, the Lo Alima Tumas at Tahom Lim Mistar. Because Rav Hamanuna is positing that Tumas at Tahom is a weaker form of Tumah. Now, weaker because, as we spent today and yesterday learning, is that under certain circumstances, it's not so ser your Naziris. Limited circumstances, but under certain circumstances. So it's a weaker Tumas Hameis. So what Rav Hamanuna is positing is that another way that we could see this weakness in Tumas HaTahom is that if you are on day 7, So you're basically tahor. Now, when I say basically tahor, again, we're talking halacha over here. So either you're tahor or you're not tahor. Right? So what does that mean, you're basically tahor? Meaning, you already had the hazah of the paraduma. You already told in the mikvah, and there's only one thing left. And that's just wait till night. Wait till Harav Shemesh. So you're so close to being tahor, and to give away some of the Gemara that we're going to see in just a moment, and you don't got to do anything anymore. In other words, all you need to do is just wait. So therefore, the Tumas HaTahom is not going to affect you. This is the thesis of Rav Hamanuna. So my timer.
If somebody's tahor and get a sprinkling of the paraduma, it becomes tameh. So in this case, right?
No, this case he's tameh. We're starting off with the point that he was tameh.
Yeah, but then he becomes,
and then on day seven he's exposed to tumas hatahom.
Yeah. So if there's a question here, there's a tameh or tahor, then when he gets a sprinkling, well, it's tahor, it becomes tameh.
Yeah, I understand, but it's not. I understand, yeah, but it's not a. It's
himself.
Right, but it's not a question. Meaning he was exposed to tumas hatahom. But what Rav Hamanuna is positing is that because it's a weaker tumah, so therefore it's not going to affect the count of seven.
It doesn't have to repeat the
right. My time, the lo alima tumas hatahom, because tumas hatahom is not strong enough where it can undo that which you already counted. Mace of Rava. So Rava says that's very difficult. Yarli tarmi tumas ames tame shecheskas tame tame shecheskas tar tar. So the to which Rava asks a really simple question, and it's really simple. Our Mishnah. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? This halacha of Tumas HaTahom, this special halacha Moshe Mistina of Tumas HaTahom, is only under the circumstances where you're coming from a position of Cheskas Tahara. If you are Becheskas Tumah, you are not afforded this special halacha of Tumas HaTahom. And what are we talking about right now? We're talking about a guy who's Tamei Meis. And now he's getting over his Tumas Meis. So he's Becheskas Tumah. And now on day seven, right, he encountered Tumas HaTahom. It doesn't work. So it's a strong question. It's a Mishnah. It's very hard to defend Rav Hamanuna when he's saying something against the Mishnah. So Rav Hamanuna will concede one point. And that is, I said this halacha as it relates to both a Nazir and to a Osei Pesach. I'm gonna backtrack. I'm going to recant on one of my two positions. And specifically the Nazir. Well, first of all, I have to because it's the Mishnah. So you're right. In other words, I can't contend with the Mishnah. But I'll explain the difference between a Nazir and a Osei Pesach. As it relates to the Nazir, what's missing in his life, he still has to shave. There's an action point for the Nazir that he needs to do in order for him to complete his Tumah. Or I should say, his Tahara. The process of his Tahara. So therefore, I'm with you as it relates to the Nazir. I agree. And again, I have to agree. The Mishnah says so. But I'm explaining why there you're not gonna the Tumas HaTahom is gonna upset him. It's gonna upset him because even on day seven there's still more to go. There's more action he needs to do. But when, as it relates to the Osei Pesach, to the person who wants to bring now Karban Pesach, so day seven, he sprinkled, he told him the mikvah, what's left for him to do? The answer is just simply wait. Wait until Harav Shemesh, and that's it. So there, Rav Hamanuna says, I'd like to stick to my guns over there and say that because essentially he's finished his Tahara process, and the only thing that's left is just the passive waiting, so therefore Rav Hamanuna says that Tumas HaTahom is not going to affect him. Amalei Rav Afa Anami Modin Alach. So Rav says, I'm with you, I agree. So, Ba'ose Pesach Delo Mechusar Velo Klum. Okay, so Rav says, I agree. Amalei Abaye Va'am Mechusar Harav Shemesh. So Abaye says, yeah, but aren't you missing Harav Shemesh? Meaning, there's still more to go. So Amalei Shimshem Emela Arva. So the answer that was given to Abaye by Rava was, yeah, you know, the sun sets. It happens. Happens on its own. You don't have to do anything. And so consequently, there's nothing you need to do. V'af Abaye Hadarbe. And Abaye also recanted as well. And what the Gemara is going to do is, the Gemara is going to go through a series of halachas as it relates to a woman who gives birth. I'll save these for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll go through these halachas together. It'll take a little bit of time to get through these halachas, but the point is going to be, Abaye concedes the point that if all that's left is just Harav Shemesh, that's considered in the world of Tumas HaTahom as if you're done. Mind you, by the way, we're all in agreement. There's nothing to discuss in terms of you're not tar until Har HaShemesh comes. Right. That part's clear. But in terms of how it affects you regarding our discussion of Tumas HaTahom, we're going to say that essentially you're done, and therefore Tumas HaTahom is not going to discount the days that you can't because you finished counting. Yeah, there's a little more to go, but as far as Tumas HaTahom is concerned, you don't have to wait. But obviously, it's just an obvious point, but I'll make it anyway, but obviously, you're not tar until the evening. You can't eat Shurma until the evening. You can't eat Karm Pesach until the evening. It just, as it relates to this halacha of Tumas HaTahom. Okay, so we'll conclude Abaye's point tomorrow. We'll see that he eventually agreed to Rava, and tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.